So did I get this right? It's, I know he loves me. Can you do that? I know he loves me. Wow. Hey, kids, you are dismissed for a short Sunday school. We'll have you back by 12:30. And the rest of you, if you'd open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It seems to me that there are times when the Word of God comforts us. The Word of God reassures us. The Word of God speaks promise and hope to us. Amen?
Amen?
There are also times when the Word of God challenges us. Not to in any way harm us, but the challenge of God is so that you and I will be changed. Right? God challenges us not to be conformed to this world. And yet, everything about this world is crying out to us that we would conform. Isn't that true? Our young people right now, they especially are in this battle of peer pressure and expectations, not just from their classmates, but from their families, from their parents. We do a great job on trying to lead one another in what we think one another ought to do. And the Word of God may come this morning to challenge. I know at our men's retreat, as fascinating as the teaching was by John Eldridge, and as exhilarating as it was to us men to hear that for us men, God wants for us a battle to fight and an adventure to live and a beauty to rescue. Those were the three touch points that we could really kind of sink our masculinity into. It was good, but it was not without challenge. And I'm sure these next sessions will extend that. Well, one of the sessions talked about being a poser. And Eldridge tried to talk about what it means for us men to be posers. In other words, to try and present something that we are not. And gosh, we're not only, we don't just do this, some of the time we're schooled in this. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, I did not pose as an expert with all the answers. I did not pretend to explain the mystery of God with eloquent speech and human wisdom. I claim to know nothing with certainty other than the reality that Jesus is the Anointed One, the liberating King who was crucified on our behalf. Paul is making it very clear that he is not a fraud, that he is not a poser, that he only knows that Jesus is the Christ, the liberating King, crucified on the cross on our behalf. Can we say, repeat after me, Jesus? I say you are the Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You come to set me free. Wow. That's a good prayer. It's a better confession. Again, Jesus,
I
say that you are the Christ. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
You come to set me free.
You come to set me free.
Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Same chapter, verse 9, has an interesting little declaration here. It says, no eye has ever seen and no ear has ever heard, and it has never occurred to the human heart all the things God prepared for those who love Him. Wow. He's saying, God's Word is saying that your heart, your heart has never even comprehended all the things that He, God, has prepared for you. What things? What things could it be that God has prepared for us? I told you this might be a bit challenging. What things could it be that God has prepared for you? Not for your neighbor, not for your Pentecostal brother who speaks in tongues. Not. What has God prepared for you? And you see, just asking the question causes some people to retreat. Because, don't put the spotlight on me. But the Word of God is putting the spotlight on us, saying to us that it would probably be a good idea if you and I, you could, if you like to journal, if you like to make a diary of any kind, if you just like to write things that God speaks, this would be something really good to take on. This coming week, called Holy Week, what would happen if you spent a few minutes each day just asking God, what do you have for me? What have you prepared for me? What could it be? And I'm not asking you to make stuff up. I'm asking you to listen to God. What has He got for you? We know some of the things He has for us. And it'd be good maybe to revisit some of what He has said He has for us. Do we believe in the freedom that Jesus brings? We do? We believe that Jesus sets the captive free. Well, that'd be something you could write down. Anybody need freedom? Is there any entanglement of any kind, any bondage of any addiction of any, is there anything, any battle that you're fighting that you need freedom from? Has anybody in the room ever suffered a critical spirit? Has anyone ever battled envy? The list is in Romans and other places, and list in Ephesians. It's a good. Has anybody ever thought about those things that God says we entangle ourselves in, that He is able to set us free from? Yes. What about deliverance? Has God prepared deliverance for us? Yes. So you might want to jot down, God has deliverance from what? I can think of three. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I can say that because He said it. Do any of us need deliverance? God, I need freedom from, which means I need deliverance from. What about healing? Do we believe in healing? We are those who say that Jesus Christ is the healer. We've heard testimony today that sometimes He does it. And we call that miracle. Because it is supernatural, right? It seems to defy reason. Human reason. Wow. For all those prayer requests we had this morning, for that whole list of spoken and even the unspoken prayers, I still believe in healing through Jesus Christ. What about on the positive side called joy? Anybody in the room need joy? In fact, what is joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 What is that? Joy. You say, well, it's my strength. Well, but what is joy?
Positive expectation.
Positive expectation
of good.
Being happy. You know, we know what joy is. We know what it is to be joyful. It's hard to explain. What would you rather be? Joyful?
Yes.
I'm joyful. Does God have prepared for us a heaven full of joy? Or do you think heaven is going to have some other emotional makeup? I haven't been there, but from what I read, it's a good place. No tears, we know that, don't we? What has God prepared for you that might be called comfort? Do you know the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter? I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know if we'll spend time Father, Son, and Holy Ghost based on whether we need some parenting, some brotherhood, or some comfort. I don't know how that's going to work. It may work just all together all the time, huh? But if you're one that needs comfort, where can you go to get that? Have you ever been to somebody else for comfort and been let down? And what happens when that happens? You go to someone for comfort and you don't get it, what then happens in you? You what? You get mad. And discouraged. And you want to rip them off, don't you? You want to... I'm going to get even. I came to you for comfort and you corrected me. God has so much for us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has prepared good stuff for you? Would it be possible for you to put a stone at the foot of this cross signifying what you have in faith from God Almighty? Not just a prayer request, but a confident declaration. Praise be to Jesus Christ, through whom I have the comfort I seek. I have the healing I need. I have the deliverance from, fill in the blank. This is Holy Week. This is a week to intentionally be Christ-centered, if not every week. We used to have a little basket of stones over there. They don't have to just be those. You can be walking around this week and let your eye see a stone on the ground and let that remind you of this sermon and these words and this challenge. This week, I'm going to begin to take action to some of the promises of God. What about, can you read in this book any of the promises that God has for us? He says, no eye has ever seen or ear has ever heard, has never occurred to the human heart, all the things God's prepared for those who love Him. Can we read some of the things He's prepared? Could you write some of that on a piece of paper of what God has said to you and put it on the Epiphany board? We don't just do this stuff to have some ritual or some empty little ceremony. This is to connect us. These things are done, and this is how traditions get going in churches, but they're done so that we can not just say, I believe you, God, but then we can put pen to paper or foot to pavement and begin to solidify what it is we're praying for. I love the idea of the Epiphany board that you can, I'm reading along and here, God has spoken something. I get it now. I see something I didn't used to see. And in Jesus' name, I'm going to claim that. Write that down, and if we run out of paper, we can get more. If we run out of stones, we can find more. So I said, could you put a stone at the foot of the cross? Can you read in your Bible the promises of God? Can you write down on a piece of paper? Here's a fourth one. Can you tell... Uh-oh. Now I'm meddling real big time. Can you tell someone else this week what God has said to you? What He has done for you? I'm talking about the spiritual things of freedom, deliverance, healing, salvation, release of anxiety, whatever battle that God has fought on your behalf that has been won for you at the cross, any victory that you've got, could you tell someone else about that victory? In the book of John, chapter 12, verse 12, you'll remember these words. The next day, a great crowd of people who had come to the festival, that is the Passover, they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So Jesus, being Jewish, was coming to Jerusalem for the festival called the Passover. What was the Passover? What was the Passover? In Egypt. So God had said, I'm going to have this final plague. The death angel's going to come and smite. But if you'll paint your doorposts, the lintel and all of that, if you'll put the blood of a sacrificed lamb or goat, if you'll put the blood on the doorpost of your home, when the death angel comes over, I will pass over that spot. I think that's pretty cool. Right? Now, it's a really neat story. If you're one that's covered in the blood. It's a horrible story if you're not. Who is it that gets angry at that story? Today, I mean, when people read that thing, who is it that gets angry? It's the unbelievers, isn't it? It's the people who say, well, what kind of a God would do that? The kind of a God you better yield to. Right? Oh, you're just talking about a mean, angry God. Hey, call Him what you will. I call Him God Almighty. I mean, there's some times when we can not just be mamby-pamby about God, right? When we can acknowledge that He is God Almighty. Yes? So Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. He's coming to the festival. So they gathered branches of palm trees to wave as they celebrated His arrival. Hosanna! He who comes in the name of the Lord is truly blessed and is King of all Israel. No one could comprehend what kind of a king was Jesus. How did He come into the city? What was He dressed in? What did He look like? Did He have an army with swords and spears and trumpets blowing? He had a ragtag bunch of people waving palm branches. That'll scare the whatever. It's hard for us to comprehend. It's Palm Sunday. It's the week before Easter. I think of Good Friday. I try to understand. We'll come Friday night here and we will pray and we will seek the Lord. We will share the Lord's table, sort of like He did. And we'll talk about how what was about to happen after that table. Wow. We'll try to identify, like we are this morning, can I believe? Can I believe in this? My brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who walk by the Spirit, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. This is an incredible letter. My brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who walk by the Spirit. I have to speak to you as people who tend to think in merely human terms, as spiritual infants in the Anointed One. I nursed you with milk, as a mother would feed her baby, because you were not, and still are not, developed enough to digest complex spiritual food. And here's why. You are still living in the flesh, not in the Spirit. How do I know? Are you fighting with one another? Are you comparing yourselves to others and becoming consumed with jealousy? Then it sounds like you are living in the flesh. No different from the rest who live by the standards of this rebellious and broken world. People of Day Spring, are you walking in the flesh or in the Spirit? The question is meant to challenge. It is meant to provoke. It is not meant to injure. It is not meant to demean. It is not meant to hurt you in any way. It is meant to help us discern how are we living. Are we living lives in the Spirit of God, walking in His Spirit, listening to His voice, reading His Word, worshiping Him alone, waving palm branches of the heart, singing Hosanna? Or are we walking in the pleasures of the flesh? A couple of questions. Number one, can you tell the difference? Yes or no? Can you tell the difference when you're walking one way or the other? How many people say, I know the difference when I'm walking in the Spirit versus when I'm walking in the flesh? Okay. How many people say, I'm really expert at the flesh? How many people would agree the flesh is really fun sometimes? How many people can say, I have experienced walking in the Spirit? I know what it feels like to be a spiritual person. I'm beginning to understand that I have some choice in the matter. Yes. Question one really was, are you walking in the flesh or the Spirit? Question two is, can you tell the difference? Question three is, can you do anything about it? Can you do anything about it? You ready for question four? Will you do anything about it? Question five? Anybody taking notes? Question one, are you walking in the flesh or Spirit? Question two, can you tell the difference? Question three, can you do anything about it? Question four, will you do anything about it? Question five, how can you do anything about it? These are the kinds of things I submit that you could take to God this week. You could have a holy week with Him. You can continue to walk in the flesh and enjoy the fruit thereof. Or we can begin to experience the personal revival of walking in the Spirit. How many believe in that? Do you believe what you say you believe? So today I'm launching a week for you and a week for me to seek God in a doubled down kind of way. I want to get closer to Him this week. And you say, well, Pastor, shouldn't we do that every week? Yes, but since we don't, let's start at least, let's see if we can get a week. First Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, rather than power brokers, think of us as servants of Christ. This isn't about us achieving or getting some power that we can yield or wield over anyone else. This is about the power of God that comes to change us. Amen? And last, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, so resist the temptation to act as judges before all the evidence is in. When the Lord comes, He will draw our buried motives, our thoughts and our deeds, even things we don't know or admit to ourselves, out of the dark shadows of our heart into His light. Everything is coming to the light. Talk about a challenge. And I'm asking God to turn the switch on this week. Light the beam of God's glory over us. Huh? Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Right? We sing these words. How about this week, we intentionally march towards Him? Well, how am I going to do that? Well, get a pen and paper out, pick up a stone, read the Bible, go to Him in prayer. Submit your lives this week, this Holy Week. Think seriously about joining Norma for a walk around the Stations of the Cross Friday morning. Think seriously about coming here Friday night for a sacrament of not only communion, but also prayer and fellowship. Let's let Jesus Christ be Lord and Savior this week. Amen? So, Father, we do commit unto You with a fresh understanding. We want to be able to comprehend more of what You have for us. Show us promise, O God. Show us blessing. Even show us correction or direction. Speak to us, God. Give us epiphanies, many, many, many. Let us be so full of You this week that we just are compelled to tell others of how great and good You are. We do ask it in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. And tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, is that right, Michael?
Yep.
Man, you're invited here 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Okay, church, you are dismissed, and it is Nacho Sunday.